SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. And I'm running out of expletives to curse the weather that we're just absolutely I've never seen anything like it. Even when there is no rain in the forecast, it rains. It seems like it's been raining literally since, 10 o'clock last night. I going on 12 hours. I don't know where it all. I hope this means that it's not going to be a snowy winter. But for right now, it is just ridiculous that beautiful turf course that was set up at Aqueduct, and I don't know. I don't know how they're going to run tomorrow on those. I think there's at least three because the pick six sequence, there's a carryover tomorrow at Aqueduct. And, yeah, races 3, 4, and 7. And there's a handful of MTOs in the 4th and the 7th. And there's a bunch of AEs in the 3rd, and it is a maiden 2-year-old race, so most everybody, a lot of them will go. I mean, the fields won't be devastated per se, but that's not the point. This is one of those extended periods, and literally since the summer, where your plans. This shows you how difficult it is for owners, for outfits, the teams that you can plan and you can do everything right, essentially, and you keep getting handed this set of cards over and over again, and you have to adjust and delay, and that. Particularly when it comes to the 2-year-olds, if you've got a 2-year-old you've been getting ready, and you've got designs on the winter, and whether you're going to be in Florida or New Orleans or later on at Oaklawn, how do you stay on plan? It's very hard. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Andy's going to be with us. I mean, not that Andy's got any nothing he can do, and he's been as you can tell. I mean, when you watch Andy on and Anthony and David and everybody on the Naira telecast. I mean, they're all. you think we're tired of it as horse players? They've been literally dealing with it for going on 6 months like this, and you handicap. That's the other part that makes it. Tricky. It's one thing, when you're looking forward to the Breeders' Cup and okay, you're going to have to deal with turf with give to it. You deal with that. We all dealt with it and seemed like we did pretty good collectively. This is different because these races are, are going to come off. Some are going to come off and, certain levels allowances. I mean, even those stakes on Saturday, they couldn't salvage those stakes. So they're lucky to get the two of them in on Sunday. So it's one of those topics that you shouldn't have to dwell on, but it's impossible not to. Because it keeps, I know you say, well, you could just handicap California. All right. That's not an unreasonable request, right? That's possible. And yesterday, in fact, the Del Mar action was certainly notable. And although the stake race was scratched down to just a three and pretty much, I won't say it was handed to Chasing yesterday, but the American Pharoah sister, Drayden Van Dyke, aboard at 1-2 and kind of just, I won't say overwhelmed, but I mean, it wasn't, the race didn't get a big fig, and it just was a little bit of an exercise. But she, you know, she has now won 3 out of 4 and has been carefully placed. You certainly can notice after the trip to New York, the Spinaway trip, came back and regrouped, won the Enochia, and now wins the Desi Arnaz, and it's a $100,000 listed stake. Baffert clearly is bringing her along a little more carefully now, after the trip to California, from California to New York, was a little bit, I'm sure, I won't say ill-conceived, but that was a lot to ask. Take a 2-year-old filly after one start, ship her to cross the country. And so we'll see. We'll see what, I suppose, I guess it's not, yeah, not, I, not the 12th. So you look 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks to the Starlet. We'll see if they think about that and how, you know, how Baffert manages it. There were a couple of other nice races yesterday at Del Mar. Was kind of watching. I didn't play actually yesterday, but kept an eye out. And there was that maiden race, Brian Corner. That Corner just off out of the gate quick these first 4 days. And Cupid's Claws. These were 3-year-olds and up. All 3-year-olds participated actually, but Cupid's Claw, Kitten's Joy, gelding. This was a mile on the grass, and this was a pretty good race. Beat the 3-2 favorite, which was Mullins and Selwood. Cupid's Claws, Blinkers On, and Partners. And this was, I think, the fourth start for Cupid's Claws. And this horse of that group, this horse, that was a timely win for a horse like that. And he also had a good allowance to go with the feature, you know, the small field feature. And that went to Jerry Hollendorfer and partners Kenwood Racing and Rich Robertson. More Ice, Flavian Pratt. And they were favored slightly over Bill Morey, Our Silver Oak, but More Ice. This was 2-year-olds going a mile on the grass, and this looked like a pretty good group. So the first 4 days of the Bing Crosby season are in the books, and the rest of that action. There was, of course, the DQ on Friday. Didn't get a chance to talk about this, but opening day. Excellent sunset, and felt badly for Anna May, looking for her first win of her training career, and got taken down here, which was the right call. And Escape Clause put up, and a big price too. Escape Clause, Don Chanel, a horse that he owns and trains. So that started things off. That was the Catherine Crosby. And then on Saturday, the Let It Ride, you had Bill Spahr and the big partnership group with Tom Acker, Barry Becker and Judith Becker, Mike Bloom and John Lindo and company. And, of course, they just had the Sky Diamonds turn around as a team, and then they win the stake on Saturday. Joe Talamo aboard at a big price, too. Paid $47. And on Sunday, rounding out the Del Mar action, Corner with Dare to Dream. This is, I'm telling you, Corner's on fire. Flavian Pratt aboard, went off his third choice. Paid $10.60. Spice Perfection and the Betty Grable going 7/8. Calbred Group. And there was also a good there was a good maiden race on Sunday that I saw. The second. There it is. Dancing Bell and Ways Ready. Keith DeSormo and Big Chief. This was a horse that John Gunther bred. First Samurai. Philly. Dancing Bell. There you go. So there's a quick survey of Del Mar. We got to catch up with Quigley. He was on his way down last week. Didn't get a chance to do a Del Mar kind of preview with Tom. He was making his way down there last week. We still have to go over a bunch of the other action, including the Gulfstream West and Laurel races that we didn't get to yesterday. And since I mentioned Anna May, yesterday, Book 5 started at Keeneland. They're almost done. Wait, what's today? Today's the 13th? So they got four more sessions. The Book 5 session kicked off yesterday, first of Book 5, and David May, Anna's husband, he acquired the three-year-old War Chest, and Anna's going to train David and BG Staples, who's got some breeding operations in California. And you know what? On that topic, actually, swinging from vine to vine, I don't know if you noticed, Point Piper was claimed for $10,000, and he, Jonathan Wong, and Willow Tree Farm in Northern California, in Burson. They're going to stand Point Piper, and why not? He's a Giants Causeway out of a Sadler's Wells mare. He could be an attractive cow sire. Let's take a quick break. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names. But the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people. 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda.
The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary.
Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hyas, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hyas.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porchbills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Porchbills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Porchbills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
One hand placed into a fist, the other cutting through the mist. When it rises past your face, where angels do not know you, shimmering off distant lights, reminds you of a different life.
We're back at the races, coming up on 20. We're going to talk to Jack Sisterson later, and looking forward to that. Jack, during the summer, officially launched his training career, and of course had been long associated with Doug O'Neill and the O'Neill team. And Jack kind of had the same role that Jimmy Barnes has for Bob Baffert. And Jack with a chance to go out on his own, including horses from Calumet. And boy, you know, the Calumet team has been really terrific, distributing horses in a lot of directions. And didn't get a chance during the summer, during Saratoga particularly, and Del Mar, and you know, everything that goes on in the summer. And, you know, I saw that Jack was getting horses, you know, he was sending horses out. So been kind of on the back burner. And, you know, then last weekend during the Breeders' Cup action, Jack upset the Tempted, sent a horse into Aqueduct, Oxy Lady, an Oxbow, and there it was. Bob's your uncle. Oxy Lady's your first stake winner. So very cool. And we're going to talk to Jack about, you know, the decision to go out on his own, and you know, all that's involved. And you know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of, they don't have to be that young, actually. That's not, you don't have to be you don't have to be in your 20s or 30s to get started on your own. But there really has been a strong, steady parade of new, you know, new barns. And Norm Cassie, obviously, you know, and one of the other names. And you know, we've been really, you know, kind of featuring and lauding the success of Michael McCarthy. But he's been out now. It's going on 2 years. But there's a lot of, you know, I've mentioned Brittany Trimble's name came up with Jim Dunleavy last week, and we were talking about the action at Laurel. So, looking forward to this. Jack will join us in the next 20 minutes or so. And Andy Serling, top of hour two. Tony Black early this week. And Tony, we got a couple of difficult or at least sad topics. And Tony let me know, I mentioned this yesterday, let me know over the weekend that Walter Reese had passed. And Tony, you've heard Tony talk about the Reese's many times, and he'll tell you more. But I also want to touch on a little bit more on Adonis Acuna. And when I woke up this morning, I went to see how things had gone and where things were with the fundraising, and it's knocking. It was within, I think, $500 of 100,000. And in fact, Andy and I were talking yesterday afternoon. And one thing you never have to worry about the generosity of the people in this industry. It's just consistent and wonderful, and in times of tragedy, obviously the reference even yesterday I brought up, I mentioned St. Louis Ray and a situation like this, and there's been so many times, too many times, of course, when everyone's called upon, and that also includes, looking out for horses, aftercare, and permanently disabled jockeys fund, and on and on. And one thing you can always feel good about is the way the industry responds, and that's horse players, stakeholders, fans, you name it, everybody. Everybody gives without hesitation. Mentioning Maryland and the weekend, let's get through that too. And this was a nice set of five stakes. We talked obviously with George Weaver yesterday. Love talking to George. There's a few people. Todd Pledger is supposed to join us later today around 11:40. There's a few people that I love to make laugh, and George is one of them. Because George, I think people have this image of George as being this very quiet and taciturn and kind of placid, and in fact, George is very funny and can be very animated, and so it's fun to get George laughing. And my go-to is Randy Hill, because if ever there was a yin and yang owner trainer combination, it's George and Randy Hill. So you can usually go to Randy for a reliable way to make George chuckle, and of course Todd too. It's fun to make, and the go-to for Todd is Rapoli. You trot out the Rapoli phone call. That's a perennial. That's worked well for years. Laurel on Saturday. In addition to that performance by Majestic Dunhill and the win. And those that believed got $21 there. That was a very nice number. And what was stunning about the result in that race, by the way, I didn't bring it up with George because there's no reason. But in that city of Laurel, the two favorites were dismal. And okay, I mean, Old Time Revival had you know some trouble and got shoved way wide, but Rugby Man, the two of them were eighth and ninth at 2-1 and even money. So if you were against the favorites there, you did okay. The Smart Halo, this was the 2-year-old Phillies group, and the horse that Jim Dunleavy talked about, congrats, gal. She's okay. This was a nice performance. Got a 77 buyer and won off by a half a dozen. One of a handful of Trevor McCarthy wins on the day. McCarthy took three of the stakes. I failed to ask George about Fergal Lynch. Fergal Lynch rode Majestic Dunhill. But McCarthy, you know, bided his time. And when it came time to go, she just won by herself. Keep an eye. The Smart Halo winner. Congrats, gal. She's a congrats, obviously. And was bred by Woodford. Owned by Charles Biggs. She was a $57,000 OBS 2-year-old in training purchase. She won at first asking. She came up here to Saratoga, you might recall, and was a bit of a, you know, she was a little intriguing in that spot. And that's where Catherine the Great for Mark Cassie and Nona Madeline, they beat her. But she was a good third in there and got, you know, graded black type, and then came back in Delaware, was placed in a little stake, and now gets a stake win at two. Congrats, gal. She's worth following, obviously. Cal Lynch. We'll have to catch up with Cal. The safely kept, the 3-year-old Phillies going 7/8, and America's Tale, Bernie Flint. And Bernie Flint he's had a couple of these types, and she's been very good, and had a, you know, she certainly was well campaigned. I mean, she's coming to the end of her 3-year-old season. She started 14 times. 6 as a 2-year-old and now 8 as a 3-year-old. And did get a couple little breaks different times of the year, actually. But she gets her second win in a row and first stake win. This was a nice performance. America's Tale, Gio Ponti, bred by Madeline Arback and Catherine Park. And Bernie's prominent client, Naveed Shohan. $100,000 as a Timonium 2-year-old last year out of an unusual heat mare. And that there's your Madeline Arback connection. And this was also McCarthy. Lacey Gaudette won a couple of races on the day. Not stakes, but she did win a couple of allowance races. One with one of their own horses late in the day, and that was a $30 winner. And she also won in the middle part of the card with No More Talk for Flat Bet Partners. A Manfuso Voss Gelding, 4-year-old that was a wire-to-wire winner, easy winner, under Victor Carrasco, who's seemingly back 100% healthy. The other two stakes, the James Lewis Scrap Copper, Hammy Smith for Kathleen Willier. This was McCarthy, the 6-furlong 2-year-old group. A great notion. A Maryland bred bred by Nellie Cox and Rose Retreat Farm. And this was McCarthy's third stake win on the day. And this was a nice performance, too. Earning the same fig, 77, as the nice filly. Scrap Copper, just 15,000 as a January, as an early, basically a short yearling purchase. How about that? Nice. And with that win, has made 111,000. Not a bad buy for 15. And finally, this was the nominal feature, the older horses in the Dickie Small. They can call it the Richard W. Small all they want, but it's the Dickie Small. And the mile and an eighth race, and we talked about this somewhat extensively with Jim Dunleavy on Friday, and it was Unbridled One, and this was a good move by Jose Corrales. He's saving something awesome, and I'm going to guess that the fact that something awesome is waiting, as Dunleavy suggested he might, he's nominated for the Clark. So you might see him there instead. Stronach Stables, Unbridled One, who, of course, has been a funny horse in his career over the years. You know, Jimmy Jerkins had him, and Josie Carroll had him, and, you know, Brian Lynch had him. He, at one time, was a notorious money burner. But, you know, you look at the record now. He's 6 years old. That was his 26th start, his seventh win. So he's gotten his share, and he's had 8 seconds and 8/3 as well. And he's been well-traveled, and he's done a lot of different things in his career. A little turf, a little synthetic, a little one-turn miling, a little mile and an eighth type things, and he adds the Dickie Small, Alex Cintron, aboard for Corrales in here. The Unbridled Song gelding out of the lovely Sugar Swirl. And, of course, an Adina bred Stronach Stables product, Unbridled One. This was a good race. Dalmore for Ron Paolucci and Anthony Quartarolo ran a really game race and was being tested a couple of different times, and kept at one point looked like Dalmore and Farrar were going to turn back all comers, but Unbridled One seemed to wear him down. Gary had Small Bear, and Small Bear loomed up inside, looked like he was rallying on the rail, but Unbridled One and Dalmore end up 1-2, and then Dr. Mounty picked up third in the photo with Small Bear. So good race. It was a good the Dickie Small. So there was your Laurel action. The rest of it, along with George's win, Majestic Dunhill, and of course, you know, I got one little. I see another Laurel chart here, and it was, as we mentioned yesterday with Johnny, the Stronach 5, which we both Johnny and I had been expecting, basically because it had been suggested that last Friday was the last Stronach 5. And then lo and behold, yesterday, out came a release that there's another one. So don't despair yet. If you've been striking out on the Stronach 5, you get one more chance at it again, I guess. Maybe you'll get two more chances, because there's obviously no official end date. It was supposed to be last Friday. It was supposed to be the last one. But instead, you'll get another shot, and it's the exact same set of races, actually. The 8th, 9th, 8th, 9th, and 4th. The same exact format as last week, with Laurel, Gulfstream West, Laurel, Gulfstream West, 8, 8, 9, 9, and then the Golden Gate 4th. So, basically the same. Not haven't looked to see what the conditions of the races are, but it's the same set in terms of timing. 88994. There you go. Let's head to the break. And when we come back, Jack Sisterson is going to join us. And we'll talk to Jack about his career. And, of course, you know, had a lot of success as part of Team O'Neill. And still, actually, Doug, I know, has sent horses. When he has sent horses to Kentucky for preparation for stakes and, you know, so forth, Jack has looked after them. So he's still involved with Team O'Neill. We'll celebrate the first stake win for Jack Sisterson out on his own. Join us next. Andy Serling, Tony Black, and much more. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda.
The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary.
Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hyas, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hyas.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
On Sirius XM Radio.
Your feet in the air and your head on the ground. Try this trick and spin it, yeah.
We're back at the races. 20 minutes to the top of the hour. An absolute pleasure to get Jack Sisterson on the show. And Jack officially out on his own, and after the stint with Doug O'Neill's barn, and getting a chance to work for Calumet, and been watching and wanted to get Jack on during the summer, and it gets too busy. I'm glad I waited, because not only do we get to just say hello and wish him good luck, but we also get to say congratulations on the first graded stake win. Oxy Lady, the Oxbow filly, goes to Aqueduct last Saturday and wins the Tempted. Jack, congratulations.
Thanks a lot, Steve. That means a lot. Thanks for having me on here.
Not at all. I've been looking forward to it, and certainly your time with Doug, and of course, nobody can come from abroad and not work for Eddie Keneally, so you had your obligatory time with Eddie. Is it me, or does everybody spend some time with Eddie, it seems?
It's funny you say that. I think a lot of people do come from overseas. And, but just speaking briefly on behalf of all the people I've worked for, it's great to move forward and get, congratulative texts from all of them. They seem to all follow. And, if it wasn't for those guys, I wouldn't be in this position. So I thank them for where I am now.
I love it. You spend time also, we promote both the University of Arizona and, in fact, Todd Pletcher on later this morning, the racetrack industry program, and I'm headed down there for symposium first week of December. And you went to Louisville. We the equine business program, actually. We advertised that as well.
Oh, great. Yeah. Going back, I mean, if it wasn't the equine program there at Louisville, that was originally what exposed me to America. And looking back, it was one of those things, I'm moving away from home, I'm by myself, and, I'm a little bit afraid to, what to expect. And sitting here now looking back, I have absolutely zero regrets. And, my first job there was working summers for Todd Pletcher, and just thankful of all the connections I met along the way to put me in this position right now.
So you came to the U.S. basically for school?
I did, yes. And it was one of those things, what to expect. I know growing up as a young child, you'll see a lot of films that are here in America, how big and beautiful the country is, and dreaming one day, I'd love to be there, and you see Disney World, take a few trips there, and not once did I think I'd actually be living here and living an actual dream. So I'm very fortunate.
From that start, in fact, I mean, timing wise, when did you cross paths and hook on with Doug?
Doug, it would have been 2 times. I got lucky enough that right before I'll Have Another started to travel, he actually went to the Hopeful and got time off. It was during that time right before he started. I remember when he broke his maiden first time at Hollywood Park. That was sort of my introduction to Doug, and couldn't have been better time and to start traveling with I'll Have Another. So that was sort of my first on-the-road travels was with I'll Have Another. And, I built a great rapport to Doug. And Doug's such a great horseman, and sort of I played soccer my whole life growing up, and you hear soccer coaches on and off the field. I sort of relay that to Doug as well, sort of on and off the field. The way he treats his horses, his staff, owners and everything. I took a lot away from that. So I spent most of my time in the horse business working for Doug and learned so much from him. And he's still to this day, he's texting me every day, how's it going? Can I help with anything? You making it out west anytime soon? We just have that, family relationship now, so I'm very thankful of that.
Well, and you, I know, have handled a couple of horses that when he has sent them forward and in advance of opportunities in Kentucky, and he thinks the world of you. I mean, he just talks glowingly, even unprompted, about your capabilities and the work you did when you were together working for him.
So I think it works in life in general, Steve, both ways, that when you wake up in life and you want to get to work and enjoy working with people, and, you know, Doug really focuses on that team environment. Not once did he come across that he is the boss. And, you know, I like to take that away from, as well as a lot of things, away from Doug's barn, you know, that team environment and the small staff we have here at Keeneland. It's not I didn't do anything to Oxalady to win, you know, this last week. It was the whole team, and Doug taught me that. And, you know, when I traveled with for Doug and with Doug, it was, you know, a whole team effort. Not once did he focus anything on himself, or, you know, it was something you want to wake up and work so much harder and achieve so much more because of the example that Doug set. So I was very, you know, the experience I had was second to none, and it just makes me myself want to wake up, you know, that much earlier to get to the barn to experience what I experienced with Doug again.
Well, and you're making it happen as well, and the opportunity to train for Calumet, I mean, that alone is got to be a certain... It's got to really give you a certain amount of self-confidence, too, that they identified you and the relationship. I think Doug got some horses right away from Calumet as they were, you know, as they were adding trainers. And you must the relationship forged from there?
It did. You know, I'm very humbled, you know, I've been in this position. And, you know, it's one... It's a new experience for them, obviously, having the training barn here at Keeneland, and it's obviously new for myself, been on my own. And if it wasn't for the likes of Doug and other trainers I worked for and the support of the farm, you know, it's, there's no I in team, and, you know, the farm is very hands-on with the horses that they have, and, you know, we bounce ideas off each other, and, you know, it's a whole team effort. And as well as other trainers that, you know, Calumet, you know, employs a lot of other trainers nationwide, and, you know, I firmly believe the horses that they have with other trainers, you know, I'm here at Keeneland, and we are here at Keeneland, sorry, and, you know, supporting every horse that Calumet has with every trainer out there. So, you know, Calumet strives in that team environment as well.
Well, the wins, you've got, I think, four right now, and the stake win for this to come the way it did, and, you know, she won as the longest price on the board did to Oxalady. Talk a little bit about, you know, going ahead and, you know, sending her to New York. She had you know, acquitted herself pretty well coming in, and she had clearly been on the improve. You know, she debuted at Indiana, then you broke the maiden at Belterra, and then she held her own in allowance company at Keeneland mid-October.
She was, Stephen, we got the filly in, you know, back in June. She was a very forward, great-minded filly that we thought, you know, whatever she's going to do now, she's got such a good mind of it. She's going to, you know, be able to withstand and improve with each start. You know, the training came easy with her, the works, and yeah, we thought, being honest with you, she'd win first time at Indiana. Fortunately enough, we looked back and she didn't, because it all sort of panned out well. We brought her back, you know, she's run four different tracks. She's took, you know, her races to each track. We brought her back to Keeneland after Indiana and sort of sat down and thought, you know, if she would have won first time out, in our opinion, she ran a winning race. She just got beat, closed well. Where would we have ran her? So we thought, you know, we probably would have taken a shot either at Churchill or run her in the Alcibiades. I'd been a maiden at the time. We looked at the date of the Alcibiades and looked for a maiden race going a mile, sort of a month before, and that's why we came up with Belterra, to give the experience around two turns. She did that well enough. Although Jesus Castanon got off and said she hit the front, she's so green and looking around, you may want to add a set of blinkers. Well, I couldn't add a set of blinkers after a five-length win because I didn't want to change any sort of equipment off a win. So she came out of the race crate, Steve. We ran a here in the allowance race, and Adam Piskitza, who's been a huge help to me here at Keene and coming to work everything, getting the gauge on, you know, how they are before the race, how they come out the race, and so on. He rode her, and we actually couldn't get her in the Alcibiades. She couldn't get in, so we opted for the allowance. And Adam, you know, in the paddock said, you know, I think we have a big shot. We shouldn't be 20-1. Sure enough, she loomed up like she was going to go and win the race, and Adam got off and said, Jack, she definitely needs blinkers, this filly. And I said, well, Adam, Jesus has told me that at Belterra, you've got off the filly now and said she needs blinkers. There's two jockeys, I've got to listen to them. Declan Cannon came to work her in a set of blinkers the work before she went to New York, and she outworked an older filly. He was a very good workhorse. So we had a bit of confidence in her, sending her up to New York. So we went there, and my brother was in from England. And when he saw 36-1 on the top board, I could see what he was thinking. Jack, what are you doing running a 36-1 shot in a grade three? And we watched the race down on the rail. We could only see the start because of the weather. We saw the last 16th of a mile, so we saw the start and her in front of the 16th of a mile, and that was it, sort of thing. So between, you know, Jesus Castanon and Adam Biscuits, you know, both of them helped me with the decision of adding blinkers, and that did get her over the hump to be able to prove to, you know, everybody out there the filly that we thought she was. And I do still think, numbers-wise, she's improving, and she came out that race at Aqueduct in phenomenal shape. She experienced a bit of snow this morning at Keeneland that got a little bit of jump in her step this morning, so she's full of energy moving forward, and we're excited about her.
Well, you got every reason to be excited, and the blinkers clearly, you know, made a not just a difference you know, the way she approached it, but in terms of performance level, because she came out with a big fig and it basically puts herself, you know, amongst, you know, some of the best one-turn performances among the fillies in the crop. I mean, everybody's got to be excited between, you know, this is a Calumet homebred out of an APND mare. So for her to be winning at one-turn distances and this elongated sprint, I mean, Jack, you got to be pretty excited and knowing she can, you know, she's already negotiated two turns once already. There's really a lot to be excited about here. I mean, she's a filly that is going to, you know, be okay a mile and a 16th, mile and an eighth.
Yes, as you said, Steve, we are excited and we want to stay grounded at the same time and not get ahead of ourselves. You know, you mentioned being a homebred, and the farm, as well as all the farms in the country, work so hard in producing their own stock to whether they to breed to race or breed to sell. And it's my first experience been around offspring of oxbows, and the oxbows that I've had and have right now have all shown talent and, you know, great minds, which I'm sure every trainer in America would want a good-minded two-year-old. And that's a lot of credit to the farm. I did nothing. And the staff here had to do nothing in preparation to move her forward with her racing career, because she came in great shape. And like the number she ran, you know, we want to keep waking up and looking at that number, but at the same time, we won't change anything in our sort of training pattern with her or the way we, our daily routine to change anything, because we don't want to get ahead of ourselves at the same time. And you worry, you know, running the back quick and, you know, that bounce and things like that. So we're excited about, you know, because of the number and because of the age she is and because of the track she ran at and so on and so forth. But we'll stay humble, Steve, and, you know, take each day as it comes and just be thankful of the position we're in.
Well, this is a big win for all kinds of reasons, because this happens to be a very fancy female family that she's out of. That, you know, and for Calumet to produce this with Oxbow is really notable. This is the family of Gold Beauty, and as it happens, her dam, Renaissance Lady, is a sister of Buffum. This is a big success for you and for Calumet, and the more she does, the more her value is gonna skyrocket. And Brad Kelly and his daughter and everybody at the farm have got to be really, really thrilled, and I suppose cautiously thrilled. You know, Jack, for a plan, what is the winter plan for you? Where are you headed?
Well, it's sort of, again, we go back and take each day to come because this is new for everybody. As we move forward, we're sort of trying to map out a plan for each horse and have a vision, you know, especially with the likes of Oxy Lady popping up now, and if we expect her to keep continuing to move forward. You know, there's two options. One is the Demoiselle back at Aqueduct. I believe we're more so focused on a grade one for the Starlet at Los Alamitos. And, you know, after that race, which will be December the 8th, might give her a well-deserved little break, a week or two, and, you know, maybe focus on a fairgrounds campaign leading back to the Ashland Bin at Home back at Keenan, which we know she likes to train here. So, you know, if we can set, you know, a short-term plan, that's what it would be. Obviously, if you allow us to dream, we'll dream bigger and better things, but we'll sort of not get too ahead of ourselves and, you know, set a short-sighted plan and, you know, focus on those steps to achieve that. And after that, the rest will fall into place.
Well, it's fallen into place pretty quickly, and Oxy Lady could take you to the next logical level, and certainly, you know, certainly the Demoiselle, and then in fact, I was just reading, probably get Marcus Hirsch in here tomorrow to talk about the New Orleans season, which opens this week, and you know, that is always a productive track, the Monomoy Girl most recently, and I mean, there's been just a steady parade of top fillies that have come out of the fairgrounds route, and you know, some other quick review, Jack, of everything else going on. Ship of the Line, which was the winner at Ellis, was that the first win?
No, that was actually the second win.
Okay,
you know, that was another homebred that was great to win with, and I made a big mistake, Steve, you know, not sending him to Santa Anita, but the tactics of that race, you know, I take all the blame for him getting beat. Doing a little research with races previously on the turf, he was very speed favorite, and you know, he's a quick horse out the gate, and I told Adam, you know, I think, you know, he's tactical, he's got speed, he won't go wide to wide. Just put him on the lead, and fingers crossed he can take them all the way around. And he broke and went too quick, and I got off and Adam, I said, Adam, don't sit. That's my fault. So we'll take the blinkers off him. He's relaxed really well here at Keeneland, and, you know, we expect him to continue to move forward as he's great-minded. He doesn't need the blinkers, and we'll see him a much more relaxed horse in his next start, probably at Churchill.
Well, and, you know, you mentioned Bikiza, and one thing I didn't ask you about with Oxy Lady, you reached out for the Patty and brought the Irishman with you, Declan Cannon.
Yeah, again, I can't thank, you know, Declan Cannon, Adam, and Jack Gilligan. They've been the guys that have sort of jumped on board from day one with me, helping out work-wise, and not even, you know, expected anything in the afternoons. And those are the guys, as we all move forward as a team, you remember the times where you needed help and you sort of pay back those favors. And, you know, Declan was the first one to say, you know, hey, I'd love to go up there and ride the filly in Aqueduct. And, you know, he said, I suppose a lot of people would have love to have rolled her the way she worked the first time at Blinkers, because it was an impressive work. And, you know, it's great that, you know, I have support from jockeys to be able to come and help me out work-wise and be able to help them in the afternoons as well.
Well, clearly some exciting times ahead. And Jack, delighted for this opportunity to congratulate you and wish you, you know, continued success. And wherever it's going to be, we'll be watching for Oxy Lady and the rest of the team. And you can follow Jack on Twitter, Jack Sisterson. And Jack, I've been looking forward to this. I appreciate the visit and continued success.
Well, I really appreciate you allowing me to be on with you, Steve. And if we can ever help with anything, feel free to contact us.
Awfully kind. Jack Sisterson, everybody, who you can tell is going to have a terrific career. And he really brought the spotlight in his direction with Oxy Lady and seems to be pushing all the right buttons and brought her up very quickly and spotted her well and put the blinkers on at the perfect time. And the result, the win in the Tempted, and now sights set on a grade one. Andy Serling, in fact, I don't know if we talked about Oxy Lady. It might have slipped through the cracks with us last week, so I can bring it up with Andy next. Let's take a break. Top of hour two, Andy Serling from the New York Racing Association after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a grade one race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.